All right, children, come and join me.
Yeah, help Brother Dusty get down there. There we go. All right, how's everybody today?
Good.
Y'all a good-looking bunch, I'll tell you. And it's very nice to have some girls today. Really nice to have some girls today. I love you knuckleheads, but I love the girls too. Like them to be here. You know what today is?
Sunday.
Palm Sunday, that's right. Read you the story where we get that name for Sunday. When Jesus came in, they called it his triumphal entry when he came into Jerusalem on the week before Passover, when he would go and die on the cross for our sins. Hear what it says. So when Jesus and the disciples had approached Jerusalem, they had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you. Immediately, you will find a donkey." Does anybody know why they were going to find a donkey? What was going on? That's right. That's right. For Jesus to ride on. It'll be tied there with a colt. With her, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. Now, what does that mean when he says this was fulfilling what was spoken by the prophets? Anybody know? That's right. What the prophet said. And we read the prophets in the Old Testament. Everything, Jeremiah, everything the prophets spoke either has come true or will come true. And here's what the prophet said. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold," and behold is just a fancy word that means in South Georgia, "look here now. Behold, your king is coming to you." Who's the king? Jesus, that's right. "Gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of the beast of burden." And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from trees and spreading them on the road. So what kind of trees do you think they were cutting branches from? Palm trees, that's right. So who were they? They were putting their coats and these palm branches out in the road. So who were they getting ready for? But wouldn't you do that for a king? That's right, Jason. That's right. So they were getting ready for a king. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Does anybody know what Hosanna means? Close. Almost. It means save now. So let's shout out Hosanna real loud. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna! They were shouting that out. And it meant save now as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let me ask y'all a question. Do y'all think most of the people in the crowd really believed in Jesus? That's right. They were shouting that out because they wanted an earthly king to come and run the Romans out of there. They wanted an earthly political king to come and run the Romans out of their country and do all these other stuff, have a chicken in every pot and all that stuff. But they didn't get it that this was really the one who would come and save them from their sins. Because in just a few days, the same people who were in these crowds, you know what they were shouting out to Jesus? Say it out loud, JC. Crucify him. Crucify him. So they really didn't understand. He came into Jerusalem, and there, what would he do in just a few days on the cross? He would die in our place on the cross. He would be buried, and what would happen 3 days later? He arose from the dead. Now that's his first coming. And we are now looking forward to his second coming, and he's going to come back to Jerusalem. And he's going to come through that eastern gate, the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray together. Now, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings to us. We pray, Lord, that you will rivet the truth of this message to our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Now today, hey gang, wait a second. Y'all going to go back with your parents today because we're going to have communion together today, okay? So y'all go back and sit with your parents, all right? The title of this is When Grandma Goes to Court. Lawyers, my father gave me this, and it fit very well into today's message. Lawyers should never ask a Mississippi grandma a question if they aren't prepared for her answer. Here you go. In a trial, a southern small-town prosecuting attorney called his first witness, a grandmother, an elderly woman, to the stand. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones? Do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you ever since you were a boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot, and when you haven't the brains to realize that you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher, yes, I do know you." The lawyer, stunned, didn't quite know what to say. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room to the other side and said, "Miss Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" It's his turn now. She again replied, "Why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a young boy also. He's lazy, bigoted. He has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone. His law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention he cheated on his wife with three different women, and one of them was your wife." "Yes, I know him." The defense attorney nearly died. The judge, understanding the gravity of the moment, asked both counselors to approach the bench. In a very quiet, secretive voice, he made this statement to both attorneys: "If either of you idiots ask that woman if she knows me, I'll send you both to the electric chair." Sometimes it takes someone with a little seasoning in life who has a memory that goes back further than yesterday with culture, with history, and has a gravity about the world to speak truth to us.
We're out here on LaRoche Avenue, and we've come to the room of Forrest Gump, I mean, Forrest Wall. He's already threatening me. And this message is for his church family that he'd like to be with.
Yes.
Forrest, what do you got to say to everybody?
Well, I miss everybody, and I love you all, and let the Lord be with y'all, and let the Holy Spirit just ring out through y'all, and I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Absent from the body and present with the Lord. I hope you heard that sermon that just got preached to you. He being dead, yet speaketh. A message of Forrest's testimony. We had his memorial service on Thursday night, and he's at home with the Lord today, lest we forget. And today, we're all about that, lest we forget. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul said in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, lest we forget.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, lest we forget.' For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again, lest we forget. Therefore, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." That means dead. "But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not have been judged. But when we're judged, we're disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world, lest we forget." That passage reminds me of another one in Isaiah. Isaiah 1:18. You remember this? We quote it often. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come now, let us reason together, the Scripture says. The Scripture says, let a man examine himself. Let a man take with gravity where he truly is. Let's listen to a man who is in heaven now, who speaks to us today and speaks a blessing over us. What will we receive from the Lord today? What will you receive today? When the Scripture says we're to examine ourselves, that means you and the Holy Spirit, not you and anybody else. It's you and the Holy Spirit taking inventory Because what is His desire for you? His desire is that you be the best that you can be. What is His feeling toward you? This one who asked you to examine yourself, what does He feel about you? He loves you. He loves you so much that He laid down His life for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He has laid down His life for you and for me. What is His desire for you? You know, we've allowed our world to paint a picture of Jesus as some heavenly ogre that is always there to spoil the party. Yet, if we take inventory, if we have a memory that lasts more than yesterday, and we look at the evidence that demands a verdict, we'll see that everything that Jesus revealed to us about ourselves was always in our best interest. He was always desiring the best for us. First question would be, where have we sinned? What's sin, you say? If anything's displeasing to God, He wants us to be just like Him. Only you and the Lord can do that, as the Holy Spirit. And Forrest prayed that the Holy Spirit would come and speak. So I'm asking you today, right now, to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Where do you stand with Him? When's the last time you did a thorough inventory of your life? And you ask yourself questions. What is the trajectory of my life right now? In which direction am I heading? If I'm taking steps and someone were to draw a line through those steps, where are those steps leading? Same question. Are you becoming who God has called you to be? You know, we celebrate, we reenact this drama that all of history surrounds, you know. I've spoken to several people this week because I'm just getting the historical perspective on all the stuff that's going on in the world right now and all the things that are going on. You know, all of history is surrounding the first and second coming of Jesus. You know that? I mean, everything in history, that's what it's all about. We judge time in relationship to Him, what He did. And the drama that we reenact, that we celebrate of what He did for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. It is marvelous. All those passages in the Old Testament, the reenactment with as the Jews year in, year out were looking forward to this coming Messiah, the feast and all that, you know. We've got four of the seven biblical feasts that have been fulfilled now, and He's going to fulfill the other three. He's going to do it just like He promised. He's coming back. His desire is for you to have great joy. Great joy. Come now, let us reason together. Let's look at the places where we miss the mark, where we're not pleasing to God. As you come to the table today, and we're going to invite you to His table today to experience this, that they had the warm-up for all these years, and then we see it fulfilled in His death, burial, and resurrection. The supper. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." His body, the bread, His blood, the wine that help us remember what He has done in our behalf. He has a great desire for you. Now listen to me closely. You want power in your life? Do you want to be able to, no matter what the circumstances are that's going on around you, to be a person that's never victimized by the circumstances. Do you want that in your life? You get this today. You get this right. Then no matter what happens in your life, sure, you'll have pain, you'll have suffering, but at the end of the day, through the veil of that, there'll be something that is greater. Now that vision, the Lord, I cried a lot over my mother's death. A lot of tears. But when the Lord showed me several days after her funeral, and I had that daytime vision where I saw her, you know, standing there looking at Jesus with a big smile on her face. Now let me tell you, that wasn't just an accidental thing that God would allow something like that. He was helping me get my bearings, that it wasn't just about the momentary thing of feeling a loss. It was about the greater thing of what we're going to do for all eternity together. That's why at every funeral that I do, I make this statement. If the person was a believer, happy reunion one day for all who know Jesus. I don't know what that does for you, but that lights my fire. Because I see this world and all that's going on, and I see the power of God that is greater than the sin of man. Now, it'd be easy to look at the sins of other people, but when we come to the table, it's not about looking at other people. It's about holding the mirror up. It's about saying, come now, let us reason together. Jesus says, just me and you. So, before we come to the table, we're going to give you a few moments to do that. I'm going to ask Gary to come and play some quiet music. Just a few moments as we bow in prayer. As maybe you want to come to the altar. I'm going to ask Rick and Dane to be here with me. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. But maybe you'd just like to sit where you are. And you and the Lord have a little parlay. You and Jesus take a look at your life. Because here's the process. Here's what He'll do. He'll reveal the sin to you in your life. And then that quickly, you are forgiven. As you confess it, as you come in agreement with Him. That's what confession means. It means to call it the same thing as He calls it. You know, I hear famous people all the time, because they've got enough money to use all these excuses and hide and all. But all of them are looking for meaning in life. They're chasing down all of these things. Man has, since his creation, chasing down, complicating the fool out of things. When it's as simple as stopping, and instead of chasing all this other stuff, stopping and turning to the one who has been chasing you with His love all these days. You see, that's repentance. Turning, that's doing a 180, to think again, and faith. Two sides of the same coin. And let Him do that. When your life gets too complicated, you know what the answer is? It's too much of your hands on it and too little of God's hands on it. Why not release it to Him? Say, Lord, I need You. You say, well, what's He going to do about this and that? And You know, I really believe the one who spun the world into existence can handle it. But it takes trust in Him. Do you hear me? Let's pray. And we'll open the altar. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your presence right now. Holy Spirit of God, thank You that You are here. You're not here in condemnation, but You're here in restoration. Lord, I am asking You today to take back all the stuff that the evil one has stolen from us today. I'm asking You, Lord, as we reason together with You, Holy Spirit, that we'll agree with You about the sin. All the places where we've been displeasing You, Lord. And we get it right today. Thank You. Thank You. The altar's open. Guys, I ask you to join me here. We've asked Brother Mike to come and join us. Love Mike Lane. Mike and Amy and the girls are with us a long time and blessed our lives in a lot of ways. And we've given them up over and over again. And now they're in a far distant Babylonian captivity out west. But I'm glad Mikey's here today and to help us with communion. It's a joy. We love you, bud. This is the intimacy of communion. You know, it's not like Jesus. We're here. He is. He's here and He's not silent. When we invite you to the table today, you're going to experience His presence. Let me warn you something. When you come up here and stand here today, or maybe just on the walk here, He may reveal something to you that He's never spoken to you before in your life. Let Him speak. He's here. He loves you. On the night in which He was betrayed, the Scripture says He took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body which is broken for you. And after supper, He took the cup. It was the third cup of the evening. It was the cup of redemption. Got one more cup to go. And He said, "This is My blood. Blood of the new covenant. My blood given for you. It's the blood that washes away our sin." It's His blood. Lord, now as we come to Your table, we're asking You, Lord, as we partake of the elements, Lord, as You reveal Yourself to us, Lord, come and speak and move and act in our lives and release us, Lord, to be the people that You have called us to be. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, very Spirit of Jesus Himself, over these elements and in our bodies, in our minds, our soul, our emotion, everything about us. Come right now. Make this the body of Jesus broken for you. Mikey, the body of Jesus broken for you. Dane, the body of Jesus broken for you. Blood of the new covenant
poured out for your redemption, right? Jesus' blood shed for you, Mikey. The blood of Yeshua, our Savior, poured out for you, Dave.
Dusty, it's the body of Jesus broken for you.
Amen.
Dusty, the blood of Christ shed just for you.
Amen. For those of you who may be new here today, as you come by, we'll break off a piece of the bread and we'll say, this is the body of Jesus broken for you. And you'll come by and dip it in the cup, and as you dip it in the cup, we'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you. But as you come to receive the bread, we receive. How do we receive? With open hands before the Lord. So, we invite you to His table. Come, all of you. Look this way, if you will. Be sure and greet one another with an holy kiss before you leave today. We fulfilled the scripture because they sang and they departed. So today, as we sing and depart, I'm sending you out in His name, in His power, and in His love for you to be the church, be His body, wherever you are. Let's have church at Walmart, at the mall, at your home, on your street. Now, just to tell you how good an invitation is, you see this young lady right here? Pam Jones. You know who the Lord used to give us Pam Jones years ago? Mikey Lane. He's one invited Pam years ago. And we thank you, Mikey, for that. So don't underestimate the power of an invitation. God bless you. I send you out in His name.